Chapter 19, which is page 49, 490. This is not a tzedakah letter. This is, I don't know, I wish that the commentators would talk about the backstory of why it was that the Alter Rebbe wrote these letters, but there is no provenance about them as to what was going on that he had to write this. In this one, he asks a question: how is it possible that Kabbalists can talk about higher levels of godliness than Moshe? Moshe was the master of all prophets. It's one of the 13 principles of faith brought down by Maimon, by Rambam.
Right.
And nobody had it better than Moshe. Yet, Moshe, he's going to tell the level of godliness that Moshe was able to appreciate. And the Arizal and the Rashbi, they're talking about levels of Elokus before Tzimtzum and Eser Sfiras HaGenuzos and Atzmus HaMahusai. So what are you talking about? How is that possible? That's the basic premise of the letter. So it starts out, Oiter Or Kisalma. He wraps light around him as a garment. You say that every single day when you put before you put your while you're checking your tzitzis. This whole idea of enveloping oneself in light is like pretty freaky when you think about it. Okay. So he says now, Hilakuti Torah Shel Arizal Parshas Kisisa Pirish Parshas Vayikra Kasiv. It says over there, the Rashbi writes, oh, if you want to know when Moshe was talking about, when he was talking about relating to Elokus, so it wasn't, he didn't understand the level of the inner aspects of Chachma, of Atzilus. And for sure, he didn't have any grasp of Keser, which is known as Erech Anpin, which is the external part of Hashem's will. What a level of Elokus did Moshe have? It was the external expression of Hashem's wisdom of Atzilus, but not straight external expression of Hashem's wisdom. It was only as that expression of wisdom was enclosed in Bina, related to Bina, as it had enclosed itself in the seven low spheres, which was called Zah. And then it was finally, as it was manifest in the lower four spheres of Netzach Hayit Yisoid and Malchus, and that's where Moshe understood it with his prophecy in a level, in an internalized way, in the inner level of Nehi. So just to put this into, before I put it into Kabbalistic jargon, Moshe, we call the Torah Chachmasai v'retzaynei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe, of course, he's called Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the one who taught us the Torah. So it was his job to convey Chachmasai v'retzaynei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, it would make sense for us to say that Moshe had a grasp of Hashem's wisdom. So it comes along the Rashbi, and he says, yeah, kind of, sort of.
A little bit.
Because, you should be so lucky. Anyway, it's not that he had, no, it's not even, you can't even say that Moshe had a grasp of Hashem's Chachma. Because what happened in this whole process is, okay, Moshe was a neshama of Atzilus. Like the every great tzaddik, not that I know where to put the GPS coordinates of the neshamas of any great tzaddik, but we're told that what actually makes a person a great tzaddik is that their neshama doesn't go through so much processing, and therefore they're more privileged and more sensitive to Elokus. And Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama went through the least amount of processing of any person ever who have lived. So, but he wants to say, okay, so Moshe did convey Chachmasu Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvahs, how many letters have we had? How many chapters of Tanya does it talk about doing mitzvahs as being an expression of Hashem's Ratzon? And how do we know that? That's all from Moshe. Moshe was the one that came up with this idea that the mitzvahs are like levushim, they're extensions of Hashem, there's 248 limbs of the king, etc. So this is all coming from Moshe. We have to say that Moshe had a grasp of Chachmasa v'Ratzono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it wasn't straight. It wasn't the pristine level as we would assume his soul should be, but it had to first be manifest in such a user-friendly form. And to be manifest itself in user-friendly form, so Chachma is just a potential. And even Moshe, we know that Moshe, when he said, "Hareini na'as kevaydecha," I want to see your glory. So what was it that Moshe saw? He saw, it says in the books, he saw Hashem's tefillin, the knot of his tefillin shel rosh. Which, what does it mean, the knot of his tefillin shel rosh? She couldn't show him the front, because it says, no one should see my face and live. He showed him the back, which means the chetzoinius of Chochmah, an outer expression of Chochmah. Okay, meaning, it's described in the Kabbalah that every madrega, every level, has something called Rosh Teich Seif. If we use the very bad example of a cup, okay, a cup can be broken into three parts. You have the inside of the cup, you have the outside of the cup, and you have the handle. Okay, the inside of the cup is for holding the liquid. The outside of the cup is for limiting how much liquid can be held. And the handle is what makes the cup, which makes the liquid relatable to something that's not the cup. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to say, so he had a grasp on the chitzainius of Chochmah, as it's mislabish and bina. That means, so there's Hashem's inner will and Hashem's inner wisdom. Moshe didn't have that. Not like that. Moshe had the handle. The handle as it relates to understanding. In other words, it has to be, the handle makes it user-friendly. So as Chochmah is by itself, it's just a potential. The word, we learned this already way back when in chapter 2, chapter 3, Chochmah is Kayachmah. It's just a potential, a power of what? So it's not usable. Only when Chochmah is enclosed in Bina, meaning that the germinating idea, the germination of the idea, which is expressed by Chochmah, once it now comes into Bina, and it now has definition, so now it's user-friendly. It's still the same germ of an idea, but even that was too high for Moshe. Moshe could only relate to it as an emotional experience in Atzilus. Moshe could relate to Netzach Hod Yisod and Malchus, which aren't really emotions. Emotions are love, fear, harmony. Those are emotions. Netzach Hod Yisod and Malchus are effectors or actuators. The whole purpose of Netzach is, I have a job to do, I got to go overcome all my obstacles. Hode says, I have to come all over all the obstacles, but I have to be consistent about it and do it in a way that makes the most amount of sense to be able to get through to my goal. Yesod makes it practically applicable, and then Malchus is the final result. Okay, so in other words, it doesn't actually become a usable thing till it gets down to Malchus of Atzilus, at least for Moshe. For most people, Malchus of Atzilus isn't usable either because it's still Atzilus. Even though the whole purpose of Malchus of Atzilus is in order to relate the previous 9 spheres to the levels that are lower than it, but it's still Atzilus. Atzilus still means, one of the translations of Atzilus is next to. It's still right next to God. Okay? So, this is what the Rashbi wants to say. That Malchus, that Moshe Rabbeinu, his level of understanding was sort of like at the bottom of the realm of Atzilus. Avol amayla me'ahim lo haisa lo shama saga b'pnimius. He kind of got sort of knew that there's something there. Okay, like if you're holding a hot cup of coffee by the handle.
Yeah.
Okay, you know that there's hot coffee in that cup. Okay, and you can even tell there's hot coffee in that cup even if you weren't looking at it. You could just grab it by the cup, by the handle. So, but you're not really going to be able to experience the hot coffee until you put it to your lips. Okay, Moshe wasn't putting the Chochmah of Atzilus to his lips. He understood that there's something there, but he couldn't get its get it in its totality. He could only relate to it in an external way. That's what he says. He knew. You can't say that Moshe didn't have any understanding of Chochmah at all, because he did. He conveyed the wisdom of Hashem, but he didn't understand the pnimius. He didn't get the inside of it, the inner aspects of it, how it really was Elokus, because that Hashem said. You can't live and do that. That level of Torah, that may be something similar to what Ben Zoma experienced when it says the 4 that went into the Pardes, Rabbi Akiva and Ben Zoma and Acher and I'm trying to keep the 4th person's name escapes me right now, but Ben Zoma died. Okay, because it was too much for him. And the other person went crazy. The one whose name I can't remember right now. Maybe it was Ben Zoma who went
one,
crazy.
One went crazy. One died.
One went off.
Rabbi Akiva came out. What happened to the last one?
He became.
He was apostate. Yes.
He fried out. Yeah.
Yeah. He fried out. Yeah.
Okay. So because it's not relatable. If you look at the story of Elisha ben Avuya, what was his deal? He's trying to grasp the inner workings of Elokus, and what does he see? He sees a father tell his son, "Go up in the tree and shoo away the mother bird, bring down the nest." And the kid falls out of the tree as he's coming down, and dies. And it says, wait a minute. If you honor your parents, you get long life. If you shoo away the mother bird, you get long life. This little kid fell out of a tree and died doing 2 mitzvahs that promised long life. So what he was missing was, what does long life mean?
Right.
He had an external understanding that long life means you get to be 80 years old. He didn't understand in this context.
Right.
What long life meant. I'm not going to try and explain what long life meant with a little kid falling out of a tree and dying, but Elisha ben Avuya, Acher as he's known, didn't get it because he didn't have the pnimius. He had the chetzainius. He understood that there's supposed to be something happening over here, but it wasn't. What happened was beyond his intellect. He couldn't get it. Okay, so Moshe, listen. There's nobody who's going to say, yeah, Hashem, I got it. It's impossible. Not even for Moshe.
Yeah, no.
He didn't have a lemaila mahanehim lo haisel lo shum hasaga b'pnimius. Higher than this, he didn't really get what was going on. He had like the glimpse, the gleams. He had the presentation, but he didn't get it. Kiyu b'chinas acharayim de chachma ulubeshes b'bina ulubeshes mispashes toich b'pnimius nehim. Like he just said it again twice. He only got the external part, and only as the external part, not even the real external part, but only the external part, as is enclosed in bina and an understanding, and how that spreads through and enfolds through the lower levels of tzilus. And this is what it means when we talk about the paths of Torah that are flowing, like the wisdom flowing like water. That as he said way back in chapter 4, that we compare the Torah to water, that water at the top of the falls is exactly the same water at the bottom of the falls. The only difference is that the water is now on the bottom. It's flowed. It flowed down. So, but it's the same. It's even as Moshe got it. Okay, so it's the wisdom of Hashem. But I got news for you. When you're reading a pasuk, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, you're also understanding the wisdom of Hashem as it's flowed down to the level of Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. It's also the wisdom of Hashem, but it's very chetzanius. As it says, I'll show you my back because you can't see my face. As I quoted before. And you go look over there if you want to see more about this, about what it was exactly that Moshe had. So you can look it up in the Kisvei Arizal. There's something called Shara Nevuah. And in the first parak, when he talks about what's prophecy, so he talks about Moshe's prophecy. And much more than this, I can't tell you about, because Shara Nevuah is on my reading list, books yet to read.
Right here.
Okay, Olachare. So now, that's just by preamble, given piece of information. Moshe, the greatest of all persons, the greatest intellect who ever lived, understood godliness only on the bottom levels of Atzilus. So he says now. This is, I got a question for you. The word hafli, we had this before, the last letter, the letter before. The word pella means it's just totally, totally way beyond. Okay? But if you're really to start thinking about what it was the Arizal and the Rashbi were able to talk about, the word hafli means to blow your mind. It is absolutely mind-blowing, the information which is conveyed in the Zohar and in the writings of the Arizal. And if you want to take it that one step further, the writings in the Chassidus and the things that the Rebbe talked about, which are become common jargon even in your grandson's cheder,
right,
is stuff that in the times of Rebbe Akiva would have just sent him flying.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's an Inyan Shel Toras HaChassidus, which is known as the Essence of Chassidus in English, one of the better Chabad books. That says, so how come your great great grandfather didn't need to understand, didn't need to learn Chassidus? He's standing there in Europe and he's working his tail off, and so he davened three times a day and he went to a shir in Yankiv, and everything was fine. Occasional medrash here and there. He knew Tillim by heart, maybe, you know, and he was a good Jew.
Yeah, sure.
So how come all of a sudden now we have to have Chassidus? And the concepts that we have that are being conveyed in Chassidus, and the Rebbe explained that the reason why the Baal Shem Tov utilized Kabbalah in Chassidus was not to popularize Kabbalah. That was what. That was what Shabtai Tzvi wanted to do, which is what got the Misnagdim all up in arms, is because Shabtai Tzvi was taking these sublime Kabbalistic concepts and he was teaching them, you should pardon the expression, even to ladies, and it got all of the big rabbis all in a huff, because he wanted to show, listen, fancy-dancy over here, all this highfalutin stuff. That wasn't the intention of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov's intention in writing and conveying Hasidus was to breathe life into Judaism. And if it happened that a Kabbalistic concept was necessary to breathe life into a subject, so he did not hesitate to use Kabbalistic concepts. Okay, but there, we know this because the first time there's a story, when the Alter Rebbe was invited to go to speak in Shklov, he was a very young man. It says that he left Shklov with the cream of Shklov. All the great scholars decided they're going to become Hasidim of the Alter Rebbe. Okay, so the Alter Rebbe gave a whole pilpul. And at one time I know what the subject of the pilpul was, and right now it escapes me. And it went on for like 2 hours, this pilpul. And after the end of the pilpul, so he asked some questions, and they were peppering with questions here and there. When he got done, so he was talking with somebody, and he heard somebody on. It says the Alter Rebbe had very good hearing. It said he heard one of these rabbis talking to somebody else, and said, "Yeah, you know the Baal Shem Tov. He was good for a story here, a miracle there, but he didn't know from learning Gemara." So the Alter Rebbe went back on the Bima, and he patched the thing, and he said, "This lecture this pilpul that I just gave, was all according to which I heard it from my teacher, who heard it from his teacher, the Baal Shem Tov. But I only gave over half of it. This that I gave over was according to Rava, the way Rava would interpret it. But there's a whole nother way of the which way Abaya would interpret it." So there was the chief rabbi at that time in Shklov was the Pinchas of Shklov, who became a rebbe, a follower of the Alter Rebbe, and he said that he managed to hold on for the first 2 hours, and was able to keep up with the Alter Rebbe when he was explaining it like Abaya, or like Rava. But when he started explaining it like Abaya, it went right over his head. He only got like bits and pieces and glints and gleam, only superficially could say, yeah. And this is, you're talking one of the greatest scholars in one of the strongholds of one of the best yeshivas in Lithuania. Okay? So the Baal Shem Tov, if he needed to convey something in Nigla, so he'd use Nigla. If he needed to use a Kabbalistic term to convey something, to give it a little gishmak, or give it a lot of gishmak, so he didn't hold back.
Yeah.
Okay? So, so he says, when he says it's a Pella, that this thing that the Arizal and the Rashbi were able to understand higher levels. So just the fact that he calls it a Pella means that it's totally and completely mind-blowing that Rashbi should be able to talk about a concept that Moshe wasn't able to talk about. And how is it even possible that Rashbi could talk about a concept that we don't see Moshe having talked about? And the answer is, well, he did talk about it. But he might not have realized what it was that he was talking about. That may sound very sacrilegious, but it's only based on a story which I think I told not too long ago over here, that the Rebbe's father went to Lubavitch. It's very interesting. When he would go to Lubavitch, he would never take any of his kids. The Rebbe was 15 years old when the Rebbe Rashab was nistalik, and he could have taken him for his bar mitzvah, something like this. No, he never took him. Okay? Something about having to be connected to be a chosid of the Friedeker Rebbe, not a chosid of the Rashab. Something like that. You know, so the same thing, like the Alter Rebbe could have gone to see the Baal Shem Tov, but he was supposed to be a chosid of the Mitzvah Magid, not a chosid of the Baal Shem Tov. So there were second or third cousins. the Rebbe Rishab and the Alter, and the Rebbe's father. So they, there was a relationship of Chosid and Rebbe, of course, and there was also a relationship of cousins. They were B'nai Bais. He went, where did he stay when he went to Lubavitch? Is he stayed in his cousin's house, who happened to be the Rebbe. So I believe it was in Yechidus that the Rishab asked the Reb Lev Yitzchak, what does he learn with his with the Balabatim? So he said that they started a shiur on Rosh Hashanah, the Shabbos by Rosh Hashanah on Yontif, on Samach Vav. And here it was many months later, I don't know how many months later it was a long time afterwards, it was 5-6 months later. So he said to the Rebbe Rishab, the Rebbe Rishab asked him, with Levi Yitzchak, so where are you up to? So he told him, I'm on Daf Dalad. So he said, in so many months, you're only on Daf Dalad, what are you doing? So he says, I'm making diyukim in the Verter, which means I'm being very deliberate in the translation of the word usage that the Rebbe chose for these maimarim. So the Rishab asked him, could you tell me some of these dayukim? So here it is, Levi Yitzchak Berdichev is teaching the Rishab Samach Vav, which the Rebbe Rishab said. When he was through, I think it lasted about an hour, so the Rishab said, very thoughtfully, is the way I was told the story, with like deep in thought, it's all true, but I didn't have it in mind when I said it. So you see that with, you're talking about Moshe, how did he convey anything? He conveyed it through prophecy. Especially the book of Devarim, where Moshe was nothing more than a ventriloquist dummy. Where it was just, he was opening his mouth and Hashem was talking. So, if you're talking Torah, we know, you read a pasuk, you understand the pasuk, and then you learn it at the Rashi, and the Rashi gives a whole nother meaning to the pasuk, and then you look at the Ramban, and the Ramban will ask a question on the Rashi, which makes you turn the Rashi upside down and inside out, and then he'll give a whole interpretation of his own, another one, which makes it even deeper. And then the Or HaChaim is going to come and say, the Or HaChaim generally defended Rashi, and shows why the Ramban wasn't so the way it was, but he all throws in his own things over there, and he asks a zillion questions. Okay? And those are all just Pashtanim. All those people that are in Mikras Gedolos, the Chumash Mikras Gedolos that has all the different commentaries in it, every one of those qualifies as a Pashtun. Pashtun means they're explaining the simple interpretation.
Simple level, yeah.
Okay? Rashi is Rashi is the Pshat of Pshat.
Yeah.
He's the simple of the simple. Then you'll have the Evan Ezra, or you'll have the Balaturim or the Seforno, that they're the remes of Pshat.
Okay.
And then you'll have like the Ramban and the Kli Yoker. Those are like the Drush of Pshat. And then you'll have the Or HaChaim, who's like the Soid of Pshat. But it's all still in Pshat. There's different levels within Pshat.
Right.
Okay? So, and then you're going to go over there, and so now you'll take a Medrash. Okay, so then from there you're going to go until you go to the next thing. You'll take out an Abar Benel, you take out a Medrash Rabbah, you'll take out a Rabbeinu Bechaya. So now you're starting getting into Drushit, the level of Drush. You'll go into who knows what over there, and then you'll start taking out Likutei Sichas or Kisei Arizal. So now you're into Said. So, but it was all there when Moshe said it. When Moshe said, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lamar. So you have the Pshat, the Remez, the Drush, the Said. What was Moshe saying? Moshe was saying only one thing. God told Moshe, tell the Jewish people to follow me. That's all he was saying. We now, we come and we interpret it with all these different things. We look at it, we turn it in, we turn it out. Why? How is it? Moshe wasn't thinking that. But these aren't Moshe's words. These are Hashem's words being conveyed. And Hashem is infinite. And the words that are conveyed in every word in the Torah is an infinity. And so therefore, Moshe didn't have to spell it out.
Right.
Moshe didn't even have to spell it out in Torah Shebal Peh, even.
Right.
Okay, because even with 40 years of talking in the desert, listen, there's existent 135,000 different volumes of Torah Shebal Peh right now and still growing. There is no way that in 40 years Moshe could have conveyed all that information. Moshe conveyed what he conveyed, and then people took it and they ran with it. Okay, the Torah is a living organism.
It's growing.
And every generation is growing more. And it's not something Moshe conveyed all of this information. It's up to the individuals to pull out from where did Moshe pull this information. It says one of the worst insults you can say about somebody's insight into the Torah is that it's such a chiddush, it's such a novelty that even Moshe never heard it. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu never even said such a thing. Okay, meaning that what? It's not Torah. Okay, because everything that Moshe says, Kol Masha Tamid Vasil Chaz Moshe. Yeah, we have a saying. It's in the Gemara. The Zohar, I don't know where it is exactly. It's a Kol Masha Vasil Vasil Liz Chadish. Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything that every single person up until the time of Mashiach coming. Moshe knew the whole time. No, it knew it all. But he didn't say it. Meaning, it's in there. It was in his brain. He had the Torah. How does he get 135,000 volumes into his head in 40 days on Har Sinai? Is because Hashem didn't sit there talking. Hashem gave it to him. Hashem said, here, I'm taking this and I'm sticking it in your head. So he had the whole thing. But what he had, he wasn't even able to get to. He wasn't even able to access it. Okay, so that's what the Alter Rebbe means when he says it's a pella. It's mind-blowing that the people like the Rashbi and the Arizal were able to pull out of the lessons that have been conveyed for these generations and talk about levels of elokus that were well beyond Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's just look at the pella. Harinemar v'loy kam navi oy b'Yisrael. It says, this is the question. It says you're never going to have a prophet in Israel like Moshe. How is it possible the Rizal could understand more than him? The Rizal's talking about Esther Spheres of Genuzis, sphere levels of Elokus that are before the first Tzimtzum. And the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu never even talked about Tzimtzum Arishon, that's a chiddush of the Arizal. It's an amazing thing. It says there's I think I told this story also recently. That I think I told this two classes ago, this story. That a person who looked like a maskil, this is like in all the Hasidic stories from the early 1800s, to describe how terrible this person looked, you say he looked like a maskil. He wouldn't have a beard, he had a short coat on, you know, he was wearing a yarmulke, he wasn't wearing a hat, he was wearing shoes, he wasn't wearing boots, you know, this type of thing. You know, it says that in Lubavitch, in the late 1800s, they fired a guy from being a malamed because he wore rubbers on his shoes. And that they suspected that he was a maskil. He was like a conservative Jew, a reformed rabbi or something. Why? Because he wore rubbers. You know? A normal person living in Russia doesn't wear rubbers. You know, so this was the deal. This is the way they described this person. And I heard this story involving the Mittler Rebbe, the Kotzke Rebbe, and I think two other Rebbes, that a guy walks into the secretary's office, and he's dressed in this way that we just described, and he demands to see the Rebbe. Did I tell you this story recently? And if you don't remember, it's good. So the people listening on the tapes at home won't listen. Don't remember it either. So the secretary takes one look at him and says, "One thing for sure is not going to happen is that you're definitely not going to see the Rebbe now. Okay, the Rebbe doesn't see people now. The Rebbe doesn't see people now, and the Rebbe doesn't see people like you ever. So the chances of you seeing the Rebbe now are none." So he said, "I'm not leaving until I see the Rebbe." So the secretary says, "If you don't get out of here, I'm going to pick you up and throw you out." So he said, "You do what you got to do. I'm not leaving until I see the Rebbe." So a whole scuffle starts, and he's pushing the guy out the door. The guy's screaming, "No, I have to see the Rebbe. No, no, no." Suddenly, the door to the Rebbe's study opens up, and up, and standing in the doorway is the Rebbe. Everybody stands to attention. "Ta-ta, the Rebbe, oh, sorry, we didn't mean to disturb you." The Rebbe says, "What's going on?" So he says, "Rebbe, excuse me, but this young man over here insists on seeing you, and I was showing him the door." So the Rebbe takes a look at this guy and says, "So what's the burning issue? What's so important you have to talk to me?" So he says, "Rebbe, I need advice in a shidduch." He says, "I've been offered two shidduchim, both very fine, wonderful women. One of them comes from has tremendous yichus, but she's plain looking, The other one, we don't know how much about her family at all. It's not so much of a family, but she's gorgeous, Rebbe." So the Rebbe tells him, the Rebbe thinks for a second and says, "Go with the good-looking one." He says, "Thank you, Rebbe, very much." Okay, and he leaves. So now the Rebbe says, "I bet you're wondering what this is all about." He says, "No one's going to say, Rebbe, what is this all about?" He says, "I bet you're wondering what this is all about." He says, "This young man is actually one of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim Nistarim, one of the 36 hidden Tzadikim. And what he was asking me was, he's about to start learning Kabbalah. And there are two schools of Kabbalah. There's the Moshe Cordovera and there's Yitzchak Luria, Isaac Luria." He says, "Moshe Cordovera, what did he do? He actually came up with this term Kabbalah. He synthesized many, many, many Kabbalistic texts and put them all into one volume called Pardes. I think personally, I have learned Pardes, and I think it's absolutely brilliant. It's just like seeing all the puzzle pieces as they fit together. Tremendous. The Arizal, on the other hand, nobody knows where he got his stuff from. It is, and it's so far out and flipped out, but it's Arizal, Lurianic Kabbalah, is really exciting if you get into it." So he told him, so the Rebbe said, "I told him he should learn Lurianic Kabbalah, not Cordoverian Kabbalah." Okay, so when they heard this, they chased after the guy, but of course the guy was gone already. As the story goes. Listen, he's a Nister, you know? Nister means he's hidden. You know?
That's for sure. He wasn't kidding.
Yeah. So the Arizal nowhere before the writings of the Arizal do we have something called Tzimtzum Rishon.
Yeah.
Where Hashem removed his infiniteness, revealing his finiteness. I mean, it's alluded to in the writings of the Rashbi, but nobody picked it up. Once we know the concept of Tzimtzum Rishon, we can kind of go back and look in the Zohar and say, "Oh, that must be what it means, Tzimtzum Rishon. That must be where it comes from." But Moshe Cordovera he didn't have that concept. By him, it was Seder Istalshalus. It was an infinite number of Tzimtzumim. There's no quantum leaps. This was a Chiddush of the Arizal. Okay, and the Arizal's able to come up with such insights, and we don't see it anywhere in Torah Shebal Peh before that. The Arizal is, you would call, new. He's only 500 years ago. That's nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu is 3,300 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so 500 years ago, suddenly there's this concept which is introduced to the world. Okay? Okay, ha'inyin hu pashut u'muvan l'kol. He said, this is not rocket science. Okay, the basic answer is Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu had the Torah. And what he had, he had. He saw it. It was his. It was graspable. You could use the word tefisa. He had, like, he was had it in his hand. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu had. The Arizal and the Rashbi, they understood it. They knew that there's some kind of a concept like this, and they're sitting and they're talking about it. Okay? So they were able to talk about it. Moshe had it. There's a difference between that and the... there's a very famous story involving the Mezitra Magid that he had a chavrusa. The Mezitra Magid was Baki B'kol HaTorah Kula before he came to the Baal Shem Tov. He was thoroughly and completely familiar with every aspect of Torah, in Nigla and in Nister. I mean, he knew Zohar Baal Peh, you know, Kisei Arizal Baal Peh, he knew all the stuff, he knew it. It was right at the end of his nose. That's how the Mezitra Magid had it. Okay? He had a chavrusa from when he was younger, and this chavrusa went into business. There's a couple stories about the chavrusa coming to visit. So one visit, so they came, and he came sort of later on, and this guy had been traveling like a whole day, and he was exhausted. So he said, if you don't mind, I'm tired, we'll talk tomorrow after davening. So he said, fine. So this person, he davened, and he got up regularly, he went to the mikveh, he learned a little bit, he davened, and he's done davening, a beautiful davening. The angels were all applauding. He's done at 10 o'clock. The Mezitra Magid comes out of his room at 4 o'clock. So they're sitting over, quote-unquote, breakfast, and the chaver asked the Mezitra Magid, why did you take, how did it take you till 4 o'clock to daven? So he said he was davening with the kavanas of the Arizal. So the chavrusa said, I also daven with the kavanas of the Arizal, and I'm done at 10 o'clock. So the Mezitra Magid didn't answer him, but he said to him, why are you traveling through Mizrich, if you don't mind me asking? So he said, I'm on the way to the fair. He says, what do you do at the fair? He says, what every Jew does, buy wholesale, sell retail. He goes to the fair, he buys up all the merchandise cheap, he schleps it all back to the shtetlach where he lives, and he sells it and he makes a profit. So he says, and how long does it take you to do this? He says, the whole process takes about 2 months. By the time that he leaves his house, goes to the fair, comes back and sells all the merchandise, it's 2 months. So he says, that's a long time. He says, I got an idea for you to save you some time. He says, this is what you should do. You should sit down in your chair in your living room, and you should see yourself walking on the road towards the fair. And at this point, you're in this place, and now you're up to this point, and now you're buying the merchandise, and now you're schlepping it back home, and now you're selling it. You could do that, the whole thing, in about a half an hour. It'd save you so much time, you could do so much more stuff. And he said to him, yeah, but there's only one problem, is I was never there. I don't have the merchandise. So the Mezitra Magid said, that's the difference between my davening and your davening. You're going through and saying, now I'm here, now I'm there, I'm actually there. So so Moshe Rabbeinu was there. And his there only got him as far as the bottom of Atzilus. The Rashbi, I'm not going to argue with the Arizal. I'm not going to start up with him. The Arizal, there's a story that the Arizal was sitting at a table Friday night with a bunch of people, and he turned to the guy to his left and said, your brother, I'm sorry to tell you, but your brother in Yerushalayim just died Friday night. So he said, how do you know? And the Rizal said, the flame of the candle just told me. So anybody who understands what flames are saying, I'm not going to say anything about
him.
Okay? I'm not going to say what he knows, what he doesn't know, what his level of understanding was, what his level of understanding wasn't. But he didn't, for sure he didn't understand more than Moshe. For sure not. He did not have a grasp of Elokus of that of Moshe. And just as an instance, what would it be to be able to talk to flames? There's a story after the Mezuzah Magid passed away, so the Talmidim of the Magid decided that they're going to go their separate ways, and they're going to tailor Chassidus to the inhabitants of the area where they live. Which is why you have Chabad Chassidus, and you have Chagas Chassidus, and then you have Kesser Chassidus of the Breslovers, because it was to appeal to the populace in those areas. So in Lithuania, most of Lithuania was Chabad. But there was also the what do you call it? Not the Skeleners, what are they called? The Stoloners.
Okay.
The Stoloners were also there. So Karlin Stolen is who they are. So there were differences, big philosophical differences between the Alter Rebbe and the Stoloner, the Karliner. And they decided, listen, it's enough is enough. We're all trying to do the same thing. Let's get on the same page. So the Karliner came to the Alter Rebbe for a Shabbos. And there's all kinds of stories about that Shabbos. The Alter Rebbe, when the Karliner was ready to go back, the Alter Rebbe instructed many of the Talmidim to escort the Karliner back to Karlin. Or to escort him on his way. You're supposed to, he himself walked the Karliner, I think, down to the end of the block. And then instructed the students to continue with him. So many of the students walked with him to the edge of town. Some of them walked as far as the Tchum Shabbos. One student, I think it was Pinchas Reitzis, if I'm not mistaken, walked with him all the way back to Karlin. And the Karliner was very impressed with him and said that if you come and you stay in Karlin, I will teach you the language of the birds. So the response is in two stages. In two different stories, I heard there's two different responses, but it probably was the same response. One response was, the Rebbe is a Rebbe, but the Talmud is not a Talmud. Meaning to say, you're okay, but you're not my Rebbe. Okay, and you would like me to be your Talmud, but I'm not your Talmud. The other answer I heard was the language of the birds. In Liozhna, we have Atzmusa Umahusoi. What's language of the birds when you have Atzmusa Umahusoi? So, on one hand, you could say, well, the reason he could just talk to flames. But, I'm not going to start up with the Arizal. Okay. So that's the difference, though. Okay, so it's pashut moving lekol. Sheish hefrish gadol bein asagas chachmei ha'emes harashbi v'arizal. There's a big difference to the way that the Kabbalists understand the Torah. Shehi hasagas chachmei v'das, that they are understanding it, and they even have das. Das means that they have this information and they know what to do with it. They have a practical application for it. It's bound with them in an internal bond. Moshe Rabbeinu, all of a shalom. But compare that to what Moshe Rabbeinu had. Rishar HaNevim and the rest of the prophets. Even Habakkuk, who's referred to as the minor prophet. He's like the one of all the prophets that we know about. He had the lowest level of prophecy. But you know what? It's a whole nother league than the Arizal and the Rashbi. Hamachuna b'kasev b'shem Ria Mamish. They saw. Varise es achurai, as it says, Moshe saw the back of Hashem's head.
Yeah.
Okay? The Arizal discussed what that meant. What does it mean that he saw the back of Hashem's head? Because Hashem doesn't have a body, there's no form, there is no tefillin. What was he looking at when he saw the knot over there? And he puts it into all these wonderful Kabbalistic terms. But Moshe saw it, and the Rizal talked about it.
Yes, exactly. That's
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The difference between, I guess, the play-by-play and the color commentary. The Ares Hashem, the Yara love, even though this is not, they weren't looking with their eyes. Even Moshe, who was the only prophet who was actually awake during prophecy, didn't see with his eyes. That's an easy one. He saw with the eye of his intelligence. But what they did do was something which would be comparable to seeing. We could call it better perceiving.
Yeah.
Okatargam Vayal of Hashem. As you look at, we see that Onkelos. That Onkelos was a very smart person. He was not a prophet. He got it. He said, how does he translate Hashem appeared to him? Viz Galilei. Hashem revealed himself. They had this revelation of godliness, which the only way they could describe it, because they had no other way of describing it, is, I saw.
Yeah.
Rashbi and Arizal never said, I saw.
Oh, correct.
Yeah. Which they, what they saw is, they saw something, it was revealed to them. Which is not the truth, with the comprehension, interesting jargon over here. He doesn't say Chachmei HaKabbalah this time. Now he says Chachmei HaEmes. These guys know the truth. What the Arizal and the Rashbi were saying, it wasn't fun and games. They weren't making it up. It was absolutely 100% truth. It is Elokus. But
right.
They didn't see it. It was hidden from them. They could talk about it, but what it was totally and completely hidden and removed from them. This keeps going and going. Let me see, where's a good... Not only that, but this is it's one long sentence, as a matter of fact. Lachain, which is not unusual for the Alter Rebbe. Lachain amru chacham adif menavi. That's why it says, a sage is better than a prophet. Shiyachala hasik chachmasa shalomayla mayla memadregas shiyachala yered lamata bevuchinis isgals anaviyah b'mari nevuasim. A prophet sees what he sees. The Chacham, however, is able to discern and decipher and to give over much higher levels. And in this aspect, you're going to have to say that a person like the Baal Shem Tov, the Alter Rebbe, the Rebbe, who are not conveying prophecy, but are conveying wisdom, Chachma, is now has a much more relatable perception to us.
Right, the usable.
Okay, the fact that Moshe was able to see Hashem's tefillin shel rosh, the knot in his tefillin shel rosh, that's all very good, all very well and good. But it doesn't do a whole lot for me, because I didn't see it.
Yeah.
He saw it. Okay, so the Rebbe does make a whole lesson from it, because everybody should be able to stand up to Hashem and say, Hareini Naz Kivaydecha, I also want to see your glory. Everybody should be able to make this demand. Okay, good. That's the Rebbe's Chachma coming through to tell us what we're supposed to do with that information. Kilo Yochel Yerd Lizgalas Aleihem Rak Madregas Atachtenes Sheheim Nehim. Because the prophets, they're only able to get the lower level of godliness. Shehain Hain Hayuridas Tamid Mizgalis and Washpiel and Mikabal Bukhinas Mechin Vikhayatsky Yuduli Yedukhain. And how, because it's not that you can't ask the question, why did prophecy stop? Prophecy didn't stop. Prophecy is a revelation of godliness which is continuous. What stopped?
Receptors.
Prophets.
Right. Correct.
Exactly. The flow is flowing, but there's nobody picking up the signals.
Nobody able to pick up the signals. Correct.
Okay. So but that's what's happening. Okay?
Yes.
Sometimes it hits you in the back of the head and you don't know about it, but
true.
You know, you suddenly find yourself someplace and wondering, why are you there and how is it that you're there? And then something happens and it's just like, wow. And the best you can say is Hamechin Mitzadi Gover, that God directs the footsteps of man, which is sort of like you're just seeing the cloud, the cloud of dust that the Hashgacha Pratis is leaving behind it. Shenahim shall Elyon mislabish betachtem lahachi yosem. Shehein hein. This is just going and going. The book I'm looking at doesn't have the chitas in it, so I don't know where a good place. I think this is going to be a good place to stop.
Okay.
We're on the next to last line. Of 491, 492, it says Shehanim Shalom, and I'll catch it up. It's still the middle of a sentence, but it keeps on going. For they, and then the English is thus is known the savants of the esoteric science of the Nahim of the higher one. It's like 6-7 lines up in the English on the end of the page. On 491. Okay, and that will do us. Have a good one.